Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let us pray. Would you like to speak to God and commit yourself into His hands? It's a very important part of this morning service. Of course, every part is important. But what makes this segment so significant is that this is where God will be speaking to us. He's not going to descend from His throne and come physically here to speak to us. He's just going to use me, His servant, to speak to you. It's important that you receive the word that will come forth as the word from God Himself. And you want to pray for yourself that you will have understanding, you will have revelation, and that this word will do a great work in your life. Can you just close your eyes and concentrate and connect with the Spirit of God today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord and commit yourself into His hands. It's so important. What's the point in coming to church and going back the same way? Just pray that there'll be an impartation, there'll be a touch, there'll be transformation, there will be revelation, there will be restoration, there will be increase, that you'll be drawn closer to God, that your relationship with God will be deepened. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Be glorified. Sing with me, be glorified. Be glorified. Right here in this place, Lord. When you make that your prayer to the Lord, be glorified.
Be
let your glory be found in this place. His name, Jesus. His name is above all other names, Jesus.
Together for Jesus. Bless his name, bless his name. God bless you, and you may be seated. He's worthy. He's worthy. I'd like to honor the memory of one of the people who greatly influenced my music ministry, especially when I was coming up in the ministry. He went home to be with the Lord in the course of the week. And I want to celebrate the memory of Dr. Ron Kenoly. Can we just clap our hands and bless the Lord for his life? Amen. All these worship songs that I lifted up were songs that he introduced to us. And I'm grateful to God for every impact he had on me. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, please. All honor, all glory, all power. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." That means you must be a disciple, or you must stay in discipleship. That's what following Jesus is all about. Then verse 7, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him." Can you please say that with me? Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Can you please look into the face of the person you're sitting next to? Tell the person, let your roots grow down into Christ, and let your life be built on him. Hallelujah. Then the verse ends, "Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. You know, when we observe Christians generally, we notice that there are broad ways in which believers are often classified. So, for example, we can talk about believers who are serious and believers who are not serious. We can talk about believers who are spiritual and believers who are not spiritual. We can talk about believers who are committed and believers who are not committed. We can talk about believers who are involved and believers who are not involved, and so on. All right, so there are different yardsticks you can use to assess and categorize Christians. But I think that perhaps the most important and defining distinction is this: believers who are rooted in Christ and believers who are not rooted in Christ. In my opinion, is the most important distinction to make. Because the truth is that there are believers who are rooted in Christ, but sad to say, there are also believers who are not rooted in Christ. Can you please ask your neighbor, where exactly do you fall in these two groups? I am sure that they didn't mind you. Yeah, I know. Usually, that's what happens. So, if the thing is choking you, you prefer not to say anything. Yeah. But you see, it's a very important assessment that every child of God must make of himself or herself. Because it's so crucial. If you're going to do well as a Christian, if you're going to be successful in this Christian experience, if you're going to end this Christian race well, it really depends on whether you are rooted in Christ or not. Some months ago, I shared a series with you. The title was The Warnings of Christ. The Warnings of Christ. And if you're interested, you can go search the podcast. The series are right there. And as I was putting the sermon together, I was reminded of one of the warnings of Christ, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And I want to read from the NIV version of the Bible, if you please. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will or the pleasure of my Father who is in heaven." Next verse. "Many will say to me on that day," what day do you reckon that to be? What day is that? Judgment day. "They will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you prophesied? Ask your neighbor again, when was the last time you cast a demon out of somebody? Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you performed a miracle? So, does it not look as if the people mentioned they are at a higher level than we are? Okay, let's see what Jesus said to them. "Then I," that is Jesus, "will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. In lenye, minimo, away from me, you evil doers.'" Now, I don't know about you, but this scripture, it worries me. It really, really worries me anytime I read it. And it even scares me. Because you see, what it tells us is that you may actually be doing a lot of things in the name of the Lord, but in heaven, it is not recognized. It's like you are writing an exam and you've deviated. Has it happened to you before? And then maybe you have just 20 minutes to finish the paper. That is when you saw that I am completely off. And that is the main question that carries the most marks. You will have running tummy that day. But it's a very serious thing. You see, we are impressed by so many things. We are impressed by people's appearances. We are impressed by people's tongues. We are impressed by people's prayers. We pastors are impressed by titles. Yeah. Very, very important. They are very impressed about titles. General. Yeah. And if anybody makes a mistake of addressing you by the wrong title, the way you rebuke the person. Yeah. We are impressed by buildings, church buildings. We are impressed by the sizes of congregations. We are impressed by all these things. But you see, my friends, I think that we often concentrate on the wrong things. And the main thing should be our relationship with Jesus and where we stand in relation to him. That's what we should be worried about. Now, these guys we read about, you can sense the shock in them. So perhaps their judgment had been given, and the reward they were expecting, they were told that you don't have any reward, go away. And they are described as evildoers. Let me tell you something about evil. Evil is not just the bad things that you do. But sometimes evil is the good thing or the right thing that you didn't do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. So you can feel very confident in yourself that I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. You didn't do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bad things. Congratulations. But you have to understand that before God, what is also very essential are the good things that he was expecting us to do that we didn't do. And they are surprised when they are told, "Be gone. I didn't know you." I didn't know you means that you were not connected to me. I didn't know you means that you were not rooted in me. I didn't know you means that you were doing your own thing. You were on your own. Serving God is important, and we must all serve him. But I want to point out to you that more important than just serving him is the relationship with him and our position in him. As a matter of fact, if we are well positioned in him and well planted in him, we will serve him. But do not equate service to being correctly positioned in Christ. It's not the same. The right order of the equation is to be rooted and grounded in him. Then all the other things will follow. Then all the other things that follow, you get marks for them. So you see, this message about being rooted in Christ may not sound like your typical excitement generating, emotion stirring message. that you will hear or that you would want to hear on a Sunday morning. Please forgive me for not delivering more of those sermons. What God lays on my heart to share is what I share with you. And I'm telling you, my friends, that being rooted in Christ is key to a lot of things. In the early part of this series, I shared with you what it means to be rooted in Christ. I can't run through that again, but the message is available on the podcast. And then what we've been concentrating on, which by the grace of God I'm bringing to a conclusion today, are the signs of a believer rooted in Christ. Because the expression we are using here is rooted. And everybody knows that roots are hidden. They are usually not visible. So if you're rooted in Christ, how would you know? You need to fall on some signs. Just as you've never seen malaria before. But there are certain signs and symptoms, when you notice them, you can safely conclude that I have malaria. Of course, you should go and test. Okay? But most of us do not test. We just see 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. No, put 1, 2, 1, 2. This one is malaria. I actually have a doctor who said that if I see 1, 2, 3 signs, no, immediately I take the medication because it won't kill me. That's what he says. But how many know that malaria can actually kill you? Yeah, it's a very dangerous disease. Very, very dangerous. So though you can't see it with your eyes, you can tell of its presence and existence. It's invisible. But it's an invisible reality that you can identify by certain visible signs. Hallelujah. The same thing goes for a believer who is rooted in Christ. You may not really see his roots and where they are. But there are certain signs you look for in the person. And those signs can guide you to know whether you're rooted in Christ or not. And I'm sharing these signs with us so that each one of us can do the test. It's a self-test. So based on the things that I'm sharing with you, don't think about anybody else. Just think about yourself. That where exactly am I? Am I really rooted in Christ? If you check yourself out, you may discover that in some areas you're doing well, and in some areas you're not doing so well. What this teaching should help all of us do is where we are not doing well, we should start working a bit more on those areas. It's like you're in school and there are some subjects you're very good at. But there are some other subjects that you are not good at. If you want to end up with very good grades that will allow you access into the university and not be a fee-paying student, then those subjects you don't do well in, you must give them a lot of attention so that you can balance things up and you can get the correct grades that will enable you get admission to the public university and you won't have to pay fees. Because fees are no boarding. And I was just saying, yeah, that's what it is. So we've been looking at the signs. The first sign that I shared with you was what? The first sign of a believer rooted in Christ is that he stands firm during trials. Amen. Now, the believer who is not properly rooted in Christ is a shallow believer. And that believer, he collapses under pressure. When storms arise, when the winds blow, when the floods rise, when the sea billows roll, they collapse. But the one who is rooted in Christ, he may be affected, but he still stands firm. So he may bend from the weight of the wind, the storms, the floods, and everything. But by the grace of God, he is able to straighten himself up and then move on. Troubles, problems, trials, difficulties, disappointments happen to all and sundry. Everybody will have his fair share of them. You can look at some people and feel that these guys, they don't have any issues at all. Because they look controlled, they look measured, they don't look disturbed. But you may not know what they are going through. And perhaps if they tell you their story, you realize that what you are going through is class one. What they are going through is university, first level 100. Yeah. But you see, the difference is how the person is positioned. If the person is rooted and built up in Christ, he is able to endure and to survive. So ask yourself that when the pressures come, when there are delays, when there are disappointments in my life, how do I handle them? Do I still stay focused or I disappear? Your response will reveal your roots. Hallelujah. Then the second sign of a believer rooted in Christ is that he produces lasting and consistent fruit. Lasting and consistent fruit. And I explained to you that there are three categories or three types of fruits that a Christian must bear: character fruits, lifestyle fruits, and impact fruits. Again, you can listen to the message. This was shared just last week. All right. I think that is all I did, right? All right. The third sign of a believer rooted in Christ is that he or she is continually nourished by God's word. He or she is continually nourished by God's word. He's fed, he's sustained, he eats God's word, and it keeps him going. It keeps her going. A believer rooted in Christ is continually nourished by God's word. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. 15:16 of Jeremiah from the New King James Version. Jeremiah writes and says, "Your words were found." He's referring to God's word. "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." This is somebody describing what God's word means to him. "It's my joy. I rejoice. It nourishes me." That means it strengthens me. It gives me everything that I need. It gives me vitality. That's what the word of God does to me. Look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." I repeat, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." It continues, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So take note of that first part. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." The word of God should be inside you. And in all wisdom means you know how to apply that word in every situation and in every circumstance. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." One more scripture, Psalms 119 verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the signs of a believer who is rooted in Christ is his or her posture where the word of God is concerned. His or her response towards God's word. His attitude, her attitude towards the word of God. When you find a believer who is rooted in Christ, you will be looking at somebody who has a proper response towards the word of God. He loves the word of God. He's hungry for the word of God. He respects the word of God. That person is teachable. He's discerning concerning the word of God. So show me a believer who is rooted in Christ, and I'll show you somebody who is continually nourished by the word of God. his attitude towards God's word is very good. Such a believer will not even think of coming to church without a Bible. Such a believer, when the scriptures are being read, turns to the scriptures in his or her own Bible and marks out sections. Such a believer writes down notes when the sermon is being preached. Such a believer is highly attentive when the word of God is being preached, because he knows that the words that are coming are not the words of a man, but they are the words of God being spoken through that vessel. This thing that I said, I had to clarify it. I had to really clarify it, because some of my brothers, the ministers, try to project themselves as God. All right? And they stand on scriptures like what God told Moses, that Aaron will be like a mouth to you, and you will be like a God to Pharaoh. So there are some people take this and say that. So as I stand here and I'm ministering to you, as I stand on this altar, Bishop Duncan Williams will say, it's fantastic. But the believer who is rooted in Christ, his response and his attitude and his posture where the word of God is concerned is excellent. He's into the word of God. The word of God is important. He allows the word of God to guide him. So we got to ask ourselves that where that is concerned, where exactly do we play? Where are we positioned? Where are we placed? I do not share these things to make anybody uncomfortable. I share these things so that all of us can work on things and become better at what we do. Telling you, your attitude, your position, your relationship to God's word. Because God's word is God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When you see a believer who is rooted in Christ, when the word of God is being shared, you can see from the person's face how the person is receiving the word. You can see attentiveness or attention. Attentiveness is correct. Yeah. You can see that. I can look at your faces and I can see those who are receiving the word of God. And from your face, I can see. Some of you, when the word of God is being preached, you look so sleepy. Look. Yesterday, I went for a funeral. I sat with pastors on a stage. When the hymns were being sung and all of those things, they were alert. Some of them. When the man started preaching, Wada. No, this one. The one who sat closest to me is not that old. It's not that old. I mean, I was stealing glances from the corner of my eye. And a padinado, what da? And then occasionally they'll say something, then he will nod his head. I said, "What are you doing? what are you doing?" Is what? He's in the spirit. He's in a trance. Receiving from above. So I should make an excuse for him. And he was not the only one. Because I kept looking. I'm sorry. No, you see, I started looking because I was quite surprised. to see, because the man was preaching well. There was a Presbyterian minister, but he was preaching well. Yeah, it is true that there are some preachings that can, or the da, you know, there are some sermons that put you to sleep. But this was not one of the sermons. So sometimes, or subana, and sometimes you see it with people doing praise and worship and everything. Yeah, they are alive, alive. As soon as the sermon starts, no. And there are some people, they have favorite spots in the church, especially close to pillars. That's why I'm wondering that this my church that we are building, this church that we are building, that we have so many pillars. Will it work? Charlie, in boss. A core problem, because that's what people do. They position themselves by the pillar. No, church, watch. It's gone. He's gone. Okay, I think this is what we will do. We will not put any chair very close to the pillar. If we see you close to a pillar, it means you have moved the church, the chair there. And it tells us something about you. So you see, a believer rooted in Christ is continually nourished by God's word. And again, that also has to do with a certain continuity and consistency towards the word of God. We read it often, consistently. We have our quiet time. I keep saying that, why do you think we share devotionals with you every day? So that if you have a challenge deciding on what to read for your morning devotion, we are giving you something to guide you. Something to guide you. And today's was talking about rekindling the fire. All right, it's just to guide you. The scriptures are there, not very long scriptures. You can read them, meditate on them, you know, think about them, and then read the devotional material. We've gone ahead to add even a memory verse. Matthew 5:6 was the memory verse for today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why do we do all these things? Then we are encouraging us to read through the Bible in a year. So we share some scriptures with you. All these things are supposed to help you to be continuously nourished in the word of God, because that is one of the signs of how rooted you are in Christ Jesus. So embrace these efforts, embrace these attempts, and take advantage of them so that your position in Christ can be deepened. Can I have an amen from somebody? And you saw the scripture, the Colossians 3:16 scripture that talks about, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What that is telling us is that you should get to the place where whatever comes your way, you know what word will address that situation. So that instead of quoting key proverbs and Nigerian proverbs, you should be able to quote scripture to address whatever you are dealing with. We must all get to that point. So your friend has come to you. He's coming to tell you about some trouble that he ended up in because he was moving around with some guys. Now, as he's saying these things to you, there's an opportunity for you to advise the person. But what are you going to use to advise the person? You are going to tell the person, so kotre akori ni mekwa. Now, ponchinye timufi phrase saying, to wait. If the lizard has gone to chew the pepper, why is it the frog or the tadpole who is sweating over it? What is that? What is that? What you should be telling the person is that, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And that's what happens when the word of Christ dwells in us richly, in all wisdom. It means you know how to apply the word in every situation and in every circumstance. For yourself, whatever you're going through. when you are struggling, trying to do something, struggling with your business, well, you should tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you are worried, confused about a lot of things, about your home, about your marriage, about your health, you should tell yourself, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I will let my request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. There are so many issues in your life. You should be able to tell yourself, I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There is a scriptural response to everything that we encounter. Times of temptation, you should say, there's no temptation that has yet taken hold of man that is not common to him. But God is faithful. With that temptation also will make a way of escape. That's what a person who is rooted in Christ, that is what he does. That is what she does. If you ask me, Pastor, what are the signs of a believer rooted in Christ? This is one of them. The person is continuously nourished by the word of God. Number four, a believer rooted in Christ is not easily led astray by false teaching. A believer rooted in Christ is not easily led astray by false teaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, quickly, from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now look at the next thing that it says. That we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, which is usually false. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Colossians 2 verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Now listen to me. You know, there have been times when I have stumbled upon preaching or teaching or sermons, maybe on Facebook or TikTok or on the television or what have you. It was quite clear to me that what they were saying was nonsense. But always my shock at the people listening and their responses. Preach it! Preach it! We are the and was soon. Oh, yeah, sorry. Then they were right. You are a man of God. Hey. But what is being taught and preached is complete error. But it's obvious that many of the people listening or reading, they don't know because they are not rooted. If you are rooted in Christ, you will discern error and falsehood when it comes. I'm telling you, you will know. The fact that you don't see through it and you don't recognize it is an indication that you are not rooted in Christ, or that there's still work for you to do. But one of the signs that a person is rooted in Christ is how the person is able to discern false teaching and is not led astray by that. And it's a very important thing. It's so sad the way believers move from one place to the other place. They just look for what is trending, what is most popular, what is most sensational, who is the latest man of God in town, what is the latest ministry that has come. And we know it, we the pastors, we know it, so we push these things a lot on the social media, because we know that many of the people there are not very discerning. You cannot be rooted in Christ and be following trends and following sensationalism and following personalities. The one we are supposed to be following is Christ. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one we are supposed to be focusing on. So that's why you should assess yourself. If you find out that you are always tickled by the latest sensational thing that you see on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and whatever. If you find out that everything, no, you are excited and tickled, it should tell you that you still have some work to do on how rooted you are in Christ Jesus. Am I saying something to you? Yeah. Number 5, a believer rooted in Christ continues to grow, not in age, not in size. I'm talking about spiritual growth. We are almost there. A believer rooted in Christ continues to grow spiritually. Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Did you see growing in every way? It's talking primarily about spiritual growth. 2 Peter 3:17-18. 2 Peter 3:17-18. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Look at what he says after this. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. You must grow. You must grow. So the emphasis in these scriptures is growth, maturity, developing, growing as a Christian. And when you're growing as a Christian, there are certain things you will see. You become more Christ-like. You know Christ more. You are more obedient. You have increasing victory over sin. You are more faithful, more committed, more into God's word, more into prayer, more into service. These are the things, when you see, you can equate them to spiritual growth. But if there are the absence of these things in your Christian walk, it means that either you are not growing, or you stop growing, or your growth is stunted. I mean, something is not working the way it's supposed to be. Because people must look at us and say that we are becoming better people. If nobody has ever said anything to you before and say that, hey, what's the sound? You have changed. Has anybody ever said that to you before? Or usually it's in the negative sense. It's something that people should be able to say about us. We must grow spiritually. Our spouses should be able to testify to that. Our children should be able to testify to that. Our family members should be able to testify to that. Our friends, our work colleagues, our classmates should be able to testify to the growth or the progress in our Christian walk or experience. They should be able to testify to that. And when a person is rooted in Christ, he or she grows. He continues to grow. You see, spiritual growth varies from person to person. There are some people who seem to grow very fast. It's like they've taken steroids. They grow very fast. I mean, there are people like that. When they become saved and all that, it doesn't take long. Actually, very rapidly, they are growing in God, growing in the things of God, growing in the knowledge of God. They are active. They are serving God. They are faithful. They are committed. There are people like that. There are others also. It takes a long time. We are all not the same. Now, the point is this. Even if the growth is slow, it must still be there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You may not be one of these supernatural Spider-Man or Batman or Superman. You're not like that. There are a few people like that. But most people, their growth takes time. And that's the normal thing. How would you feel if you just gave birth to a child, and 1 month after the child is born, you are sleeping, that the child taps your medicoco? ma medicoco, ma come de me. You will run away and say that you don't like the child anymore. Because such growth and development is not normal. Medicoco saying, you know. So usually growth is slow, but it is still there. It is still evident. It is still real. And if we are rooted in Christ, I'm not saying that you should be a supernatural spiritual giant in a moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. But there should be clear signs and evidence of progress. You are getting better. You may not yet be there, but you are getting better. We should see it. And it is one of the signs of a person rooted in Christ. Is anybody being blessed at all? The last but one. A believer rooted in Christ has love for God and for fellow believers. A believer rooted in Christ has love for God and for fellow believers. Matthew 22 verse 35 to 40. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. All right, so it's about love. And this month, February, is a month of love. We have called it our marriage, family, and relationship enrichment month. We're going to be talking quite a bit about things to do with families, with marriage, relationships, and everything. So let's stand by for it. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're rooted in Christ, it is seen in how you love God and how you love your neighbor. 1 John 3:14-16. 1 John 3:14-16. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. And it shows that we are in Christ, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you've passed from death to life, it means you are in Christ. You are rooted in him. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Tell your neighbor, it all comes down to love. John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Amen. So for a person rooted in Christ, you see that the person loves God a lot, and the person also loves the brethren. You cannot be connected to Christ and you don't love the body of Christ. And we constitute the body of Christ. So especially if our relationship with one another is not good, is not cordial, is not nice, then there's a problem, and it raises questions about who we are rooted in. Because if we are rooted in Christ, we will walk in love towards one another. Can I have an amen? And the last one, a believer rooted in Christ is very committed and devoted to God, the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God. A believer rooted in Christ is very committed and devoted to God, the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God. Show me a believer who is very committed and devoted to God, the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God, and I will point out to you a believer who is rooted in Christ. Because you cannot say you are rooted in Christ when you are not committed and devoted to God, the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47, our last scripture. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They were first devoted to God, and they were devoted to the apostles' teachings, which was the word of God. They were devoted to fellowship, relating well with one another. They were devoted to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. The next verse, and all the believers met together in one place. They were devoted to the house of God. They were devoted to meetings. They were devoted to Christian gatherings. They met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple. How often? Each day. So that's a clear sign of their devotion. So you can see with the early church. You see, the things you read about here, it was not just emotional excitement too. They were not just emotionally excited by what had happened. They were actually very grounded in Christ, rooted in Him. That's why they were doing the things that they were doing. And I tell you that if we are rooted in Christ, there's a certain commitment and devotion you will have to God, to the house of God, to the people of God, to the things of God. It's a clear sign. I mean, I don't see how you can claim to be rooted in Christ and you are not very committed and devoted to God, the things of God, the house of God, and the people of God. It just doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are 7 signs at least that I've shared with you about a believer who is rooted in Christ. Let's run through them quickly. Number one, he stands firm during trials. Number two, produces lasting and consistent fruit. Number three, he or she is continually nourished by God's word. Number four, is not easily led astray by false teaching. Number five, continues to grow spiritually. Number six, has love for God and for fellow believers. And the last one, is very committed and devoted to God, the house of God, the people of God, and the things of God. Clap your hands and celebrate Jesus this morning. We are done. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. God bless you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The starting point to becoming rooted in Christ is receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been blessed by this teaching, but for you to begin that experience, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to open your heart to Him. You need to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And this morning, I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you are watching us and God is speaking to you. You're feeling a nudge inside you. It is actually the Spirit of God trying to prompt you that it is time for you to surrender your heart to Jesus. Can you please pray this prayer with me? And let's all join in the prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Holy Spirit, help me to be rooted in Christ. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.